There you go.
Okay, I have Ed, Jesse, Vicky. Okay, Vicky here. Who else?
David.
David is there. Is Sheree is there. Okay, I'm being told that everybody's there.
Except for
Joel is not here. And Ryan and Jim and I are here. Okay. So we'll call the meeting to order. It is being recorded. And Lisa, I'll go ahead and turn it over to your consulting group again.
Thank you, Chair. So this evening, John will share some slides. We will focus on the UGA amendments for Leavenworth. And then we have a couple of follow-ups to share on a couple of the items that we shared with you last night on the other docket items. And also Lilith Vespierre is here from the city of Leavenworth, and she is here to help explain some of the ordinances that you're going to be asked to eventually adopt for the county to enforce in the UGA. So John, do you want to pull up that list?
The word list I'd written up?
The slides. And then you can just walk through and maybe tag team with Lilith on the items.
I'm getting a message, the host disabled screen sharing.
Lisa, is it possible to let John share?
They would like to share.
Did you get that?
I didn't do it.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Got that far.
They want to share theirs.
Okay, now it's good.
Sure.
Thank you.
Okay.
Like I mentioned yesterday, I'll introduce myself to the new people here who I didn't see yesterday, new to me people. I'm John, I'm planner with Burke Consulting, and I'll be talking about the Leavenworth UGA amendments. So they're part of the interlocal agreement of 1997 so that the county would adopt the cities, several of the cities within the county, adopt the cities. Ordinances within their UGA to be consistent with development in the unincorporated areas of the UGA. So there's a list of ordinances that Lilith provided for me. I'll just kind of walk through these pretty quickly. They amend the code to update bed and breakfast regulations, clarify and update regulations about duplexes and ADUs, the consolidate land use development definitions. I believe that one wouldn't have a substantive effect, so that should probably not be on this list. I will remove that from the final staff report.
Which one was that, John?
The third one on the list was Ordinance 1544, and it was just consolidating some of the definitions to go into a single chapter. So it wasn't redefining anything. It wasn't a substantive change. Next, zero line developments. They permitted cryptocurrency mining in the light industrial district. They amended the rules about planned developments and defined affordable housing. They allow and regulate stacked parking, which is the mechanical systems. There's an ordinance to update quite a few things on the code. You see on the list there about public concurrency standards for public facilities, development standards for manufactured homes, updating permitted uses in commercial districts, updating the development code administration and the amendment process, and then also making updates to the official zoning map. 1597 amends code chapters about critical areas and definitions. That's one of the things that we'll need a kind of more of a discussion about later. 1610 amends code about short plats and major subdivisions. The wildlife urban interface building standards is also one of the ordinances that will require some discussion. 1627 creates a new district use chart. It also revises some definitions and regulations. 1628 addresses code inconsistencies. It amends a chapter about code interpretation and supplementary regulations about quite a few things, from visibility instruction and fences to building regulations, home occupations, yard requirements and such. 1640 removes the lot size requirement for siting duplexes on residential parcels. 1650 adds to the comprehensive plan an updated land capacity analysis and an updated land use designations map. And finally, the RL10 and RL12 residential zoning districts were replaced with a new R8 district, and the district use chart and the official zoning map were updated to match.
So Lilith, I was thinking it might be good if you could describe a little bit about the land use designations map and the R10 or R12 and how that might affect the unincorporated UGA territory.
Sure, happy to touch on that one as well as the ones that were brought up as questions. So good evening, everybody. Thank you for having me here. It's a delight to be back with Schlen County and working with you. I have been at the city of Leavenworth, for those who don't know, for about 4 years now. Yes, it's been that long. And before that, I was fortunate to work for Chelan County. So in any case, we've done quite a few changes at the city level because there's been a push to provide more housing. And as you know, our area is pretty restricted with the mountains around us and the deep valleys. So our land availability is pretty minimal. We are looking at expanding our UGA, and we've been working collaboratively with Chelan County on what questions we ask and the consultant we hired and the entire process with that. So along the lines of restricted land and a desire to have more housing, and not just housing for housing's sake, but to provide more variety of housing types and to reevaluate our density of housing. We did a housing action study with Burke Consulting, and that is available if you find it helpful to understanding why we made these changes. One of the recommendations from the housing action plan was to reevaluate our RL12 zoning, which is one residential unit per 12,000 square feet lots, which is equivalent to 4 units per acre. And 4 units per acre in most of Washington State and by the GMA is considered urban sprawl. We didn't have a lot of R12, and some of it was impacted by critical areas. And so our planning commission, when we really looked at the map, said, you know, R12 is not going to have a huge impact if we make the change, even though we absolutely do want to make the change. We want to do something that has more of an impact for the goal of increasing housing opportunities. So we looked at the R10 zone, which is our larger residential zone. It's the largest we have. Excuse me. And it covers most of the land north of the city and a little bit in the city, but mostly in the UGA. And we evaluated both those with the Planning Commission, and their recommendation was that they both be converted to an R8 or 8,000 square foot lots. And this is not a substantial change in density numbers, but it's a meaningful change. So for the R10, we go from 5 units per acre to 6. From the R12, we go from 4 units per acre to 5, or maybe it's the other way around. Sorry, I don't have the math in front of me. Any case, just a small uptick, but with a planned unit development, they could do more. With clusters, they could do more. And the Planning Commission and the Housing Action Plan also recommended that we looked at our duplex regulations. So we did make some changes there to allow them on any size lot instead of large 12,000 square foot lots. And it also recommended that we look at cottage housing and triplexes. And so the Planning Commission will be, intends to continue looking at those options, but we haven't dug in yet. So those type of changes will also make this zoning change more meaningful for our housing diversity and density. Is that helpful? Do you need anything more?
Thanks, Lilith. I think that.
I don't that's see helpful. The answer.
Okay.
Let me just, this is Vicki. Oh, let me just ask real quick again, because I didn't get everything down. So the R12 had 12,000 square feet per lot with 4 units per acre. And the R10 had what?
It's 5 units per acre at 10,000 square foot lots.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. And then the 8,000 square feet is what the R8 is. And that can allow how many units?
6 units per acre.
Okay. Thank you.
And I will note that when the Planning Commission reviewed this, initially our conversations didn't have a lot of people attending. Then people started to attend and it got busier and busier. By the time they made their recommendation, we had some residents, particularly in the urban growth area, who were concerned. Our party of record list had grown from 40 to about 100. Most of the people who attended would ask questions, and then my takeaway was that they were comfortable with the answers, and then we didn't see them again. But there were some people and still are some people who are upset with this change, although it is, you know, nobody's requiring them to change their lot sizes. And some of those subdivisions to the north have covenants that have some restrictions. So any case, by the time we went to the city council the first time, the city council said, you know, we want more public engagement. It seems like there's just still a lot of people with questions and they need more dialogue. And so they remanded it back to the Planning Commission. And we spent another 3 months and had opportunity for one-on-one discussions. We had extra meetings. We provided extra analysis and documentation of why we were doing this and what the Housing Action Plan said. And I think we got a lot of questions answered, but I won't be surprised if there's still a few people out there who don't want the change to happen. And it is in the urban growth area. So we are heavily reliant on your recommendation and the county commissioner's action in order to help the city achieve its goals of greater densities and better utilization of our land. I guess I should also point out that the bright yellow that you see on your screen, that is the R10 zone. So you can see it covers a very large area. And a lot of that area also includes wetlands. So they'll be, they're not as effective at achieving density because of that critical area that needs protecting. So
Lilith, which light yellow?
The pale yellow, just north of the highway corridor where the red is our current R6 zoning. And that's all inside the city limits. And then the bright yellow to the north is the R10.
Okay.
The orange is our multifamily. And we some of that's impacted by critical areas as well. So we're not achieving the densities we had hoped for there as well. And they didn't distinguish the R12. I'm not seeing that very well in this particular map. But the R12 was down by the river. The bright yellows that you're seeing off of the Wenatchee River to the south there, those are R12 zones. We had two of them.
Okay, Ryan has a question.
Ed.
Oh, Ed does? I'm sorry, Ed.
That's okay, Doug. Doug, thank you for your presentation. It's an excellent map you just put up too. That really clarifies things a lot. I'm just curious. Yesterday we had a question about affordable housing, and I don't want to like completely encompass my entire definition of who I am just around affordable housing. But what sort of things did you do to guarantee affordable housing? And then also, I think the second question I have is more general. The conversation started that we wanted to try to see if we could adopt some of these amendments into the county itself. Am I hearing that right? Is it an all or none, or is it ordinance by ordinance? How will that be done? So answer first, and then we can go on to the second question.
Okay, so the first one was affordable housing. As a regulating body, we don't have a lot of tools to guarantee affordable housing unless we do something called inclusionary zoning, where we mandate that developers provide affordable housing. However, all the indications from other cities who've tried inclusionary zoning indicate that it's not effective. Wherever you draw the line, say if you're doing 10 units, the 11th has to be affordable, developers stop at 10. They stop at 9.
Right.
we are doing our very best, in part with this zoning change, where we provide more opportunity for infill development and for more dense development for different types of a development. Like the duplexes, which are in front of you now, and hopefully maybe the triplexes or cottage units that might be in front of you next year. And we did actually adopt an ordinance that has incentives for affordable units. John, I'm trying to see if that is in this packet. It is an 18 one, and it was recent. I'm pretty sure I sent it with the stuff we've already provided. Let me pull it up on my website. The other thing we are doing that isn't in your packet is we've adopted two code sections that provide grant funding for projects that include affordable components or even workforce housing. So that kind of funding is in our finance chapter and won't be something the county considers adopting, but we have been trying to take policy changes, how we spend money, where money's directed, those kind of changes, as well as the zoning changes. And then our mayor, as you may or may not know, is actively working at the state level to make changes there as well. So we're trying to hit it at all fronts.
I know that was one of his foundations for running as mayor of Leavenworth. So, mm-hmm. And then the second question, I guess Lisa would be good for that, or anybody else?
Yeah, I can start. And I'll share my screen to show you a couple of things. One is the memorandum of understanding between the county and the cities. And this is back in 1997, so it looks appropriately that age. But basically, the idea was that the county would adopt development standards to implement comprehensive plans within the UGAs. And the idea was to ensure development that occurs in the UGAs is similar to the standards of the city, so that when the areas annex, if and when they annex, they're compatible with each of the city's plans. And the so section one here is that the county would adopt each city's land use regulations for that UGA.
It's for the UGA itself.
That's right, for the UGA, because that's where the county would have authority, but the county would recognize the city procedures. An exception would be where review procedures occur. The county's review procedures would control, but otherwise the actual zoning regulations, those would apply. And then the county is also to notify the cities of permits. And then there's also an idea to implement each city's utility standards, including street lighting, curb, gutter, sidewalk. So this is what guides the review of the ordinances. So when Lilith was mentioning there's some other ordinances for grants and things that might be more of a non-zoning type of regulation or a non utility or street standard. And so it's still an important ordinance, but it's not part of this memorandum of understanding. The way that this will work is we'll package up the city's ordinances that Lilith did provide that were adopted since the last time the county went through Leavenworth's ordinances, which I think was 2016 or something like that. That's why you see ordinances from 2017 forward. And when it goes into the county code, it looks very simple, but it's referring to the resolutions. So it's a simple sentence, but all of these ordinances over time, or resolutions rather, were versions of what you're going through now. And so there will be an ordinance, and it'll attach the city's ordinances that the county believes fulfill that memorandum of understanding. And that's what the Planning Commission did with the city of Wenatchee and the city of Chelan last year, a similar
I remember process. That.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So that's where some of these ordinances that might be more procedural, may not end up in the final batch, but we're still reviewing those and going over those with the city and with Dina. So we mentioned a couple of things that we wanted to take a closer look at. One was critical areas regulations. They're not zoning regulations, although they obviously affect how development happens, but they're not part of the MOU. And I believe with the city of Wenatchee, those were not ultimately carried forward because the county has its own set that it has vetted quite a bit. The other one that Dina mentioned might need a little more review is the wildland urban interface. The county and the cities all have a very high interest in applying standards like that, but it's our understanding the fire marshal has been looking at what they intend to apply in the unincorporated areas. And so that one may just be discussed a little further. But otherwise, what Lilith and John went through is largely zoning and largely about ensuring that the type and style of housing meets the city's standards. And so that's largely what the main substance that would come back to you.
Thank you, Lisa.
Just to remind everyone, part of that section four of that agreement that Lisa had up there is where I know at least the commissioners get a lot of feedback on, because if the way it's worded, the county is required to accept their street lighting, curb, gutter, and sidewalk design within the UGA. And there were a lot of people that are, a lot of UGA, at least in the Wenatchee area, was still Orchard. And but people were required to put lights, not provide for it, but they were required to do it. But it appears that that's the way the wording is.
Yeah, and when the city provided the wildland urban interface, we knew that the county would not adopt that because it's a building code. It was requested, and it's always a good discussion point. So any opportunity to discuss that is a good thing. And hopefully the county can find something they can use in there, maybe regionally. We found that it's worked out fairly well. We're only going to make one minor amendment to it. And then as far as the critical areas go, we're not anticipating that the county would adopt those. And they were part of the mandatory updates that were done. And that's why they came as a package with that ordinance. No heartburn on our side on either of those. We did adopt affordable housing incentives, which I didn't forward on. They were just the last item adopted earlier this year. And so if I could throw it in the pot, I will, but otherwise we'll come back and send that to you next year. But. Are there any other questions for me?
Can it be thrown in there, Lisa? Or is anybody objecting to this thrown in there? Or are you ready to do that? Or
I don't see why we couldn't at least give it a try. And Lilith, if you're able to send it over, our goal is to finalize going through those ordinances and check against the MOU, look at the, for the other cities, look at how the ordinances were advertised and include the UGA areas. When the hearing notice goes out, we can use, you know, that the email lists that, you know, perhaps if the city has those, but the idea is to make sure that there's been some engagement, which there has been, but to also have it when you have your hearing advertised, that's another opportunity for the residents or property owners in the UGA to take a look. So we'll be vetting them, and then you'll get a package. You'll see all of the city's ordinances. And then at your hearing, we'll walk through them. And it'll be another opportunity the public has to comment, and then you'll be able to make your recommendation.
Does the current code now ban stacked parking, or does this just make it clear that it is available?
The code before that required parking spaces to be a certain dimension. It did not address stacked parking at all. So it would be an interpretation of the code if your director wanted to interpret it as an option. They could make that interpretation. That would be reasonable.
Anyone else have any questions? I don't see any raised hands. So Lisa, I guess it's back to you.
Sure. John is gonna pull up the slides from last night. We wanted to show a corrected map on one of the docket items.
I talked about this rezone application last night. And there's an error in the application. So the map I made highlighted a wrong parcel. So you can see these two that are outlined in blue on this map. Last night, I showed the parcel that was to the southeast of the irregularly shaped parcel, right at the cul-de-sac there. That was actually the erroneous one. It should have been the larger of the two parcels that's on the west side there, with the number that ends in 10,050. So yeah, that parcel has a steep slope of greater than 40% on it. Other than that, I don't anticipate there being any issues with development on that lot. And just to clarify the surrounding zoning, where you see the darker yellow overlay, that's currently the RR10, and the lighter shade of yellow is zoned RR2.5.
And John, the idea is they would like their full ownership to be RR2.5 so that it would match the lands to the south, and to make the one parcel that's split zoned a single zone. Mm-hmm. So that's the request before the county.
Yes. Does anybody have any questions about it?
No hands.
In addition to the PowerPoint slides in the PDF, we also put together the maps that you saw last night with the different lot sizes. And we also put sort of the 8.5 by 11 for each of the docket requests. So there's a maps that show more of the context around those docket sites. So you can take a look at that beyond what the little screenshots were on the slides. So Chair, that's all we had tonight in terms of follow-ups was the opportunity to talk about the Leavenworth ordinances, and then to bring back the information that you saw last night. I think, John, maybe we could put up the slide, though, on the next steps, just as a reminder. We were talking about it last night, and just for a refresh. So I believe next week we'll be sending off the materials for the state's 60-day review. We'll be preparing the SEPA determinations and the full staff reports for all of the docket items. And those would be out mid-month. And then the hearing is set. We need to determine a secondary date should you require it. Your regular meeting would be the 26th. But I think there was a discussion at a prior Planning Commission meeting that you may need a second date if you want to allow for additional time for your review or public comment. And then once you've made your recommendations, then we go to the board for November and December. So that's the plan.
Any questions for Lisa or Lilith or John? I don't see any hands. We're letting her off too easy tonight. Okay, is there, I guess we can't really do any business. This pretty well concludes what we have for tonight. And so this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much, guys. Great presentations. Thank you.
Just real quick before everybody leaves, my dad got told today he can't go on the trip, so we're not going now. But he's really, really disappointed. Anyway, have a good one, everybody.
Bye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You're going to go to on a cruise, goes to Hawaii, Australia, and
all the way around. We've gone 2.5 months. They're going to hit